You heard of every Nachman Breslov? All of you heard of him? I haven't, you will be. Rabbi Nachman from Breslov. There are no words you can describe.
Excuse me.
He said that my fire will burn until Mashiach comes, and it's burning stronger than it ever has been before. On Rosh Hashanah, when he wanted everyone to come there to Uman, you probably have heard, at this point there are 70,000, 80,000 people that are going to Uman to Rosh Hashanah. And that's when he's been dead for the past 200 plus years. His teachings are spreading more and more. I'm not a best of a chassid, but I learned his Torahs a lot. And they always speak to me in a very deep way. So, the first piece here on top is Sichas Aran. The Sichas Aran, really, these are conversations that were recorded by Rabbi Nachman's greatest disciple, Rabbi Nosson Breslov. And in this piece on top, Rabbi Nosson is referring to something that he saw and that he heard from Rabbi Nachman regarding emunah, regarding faith. We can talk about emunah. Not belief in God. Look what he says. The top piece, look inside. Kishamali inyan ha-nitfas b'lukutim aran t'gyanah. Now, you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Jewish people to tell us that we're going to go, we're going to leave Egypt, it's great, and we're going to serve God, all the good stuff. So it says that we weren't really able to hear him. We heard what he said, but we weren't particularly interested. And it says in the pasuk that we weren't able to hear him because mikotzer ruach, there was a shortness of spirit. And avoda kasha, and we were working too hard. You know, sometimes a guy is like beaten so badly that you try to talk to him, he doesn't hear. He's not able to listen. He's just too badly beaten. On a deeper level, Rabbi Nachman was explaining that over there in that teaching, Rabbi Nachman was explaining shayidei katnas emuna svichin la avodos kashas, that because we don't have strong faith in God, mikotzer ruach, that our faith in God is small, is short, is little. Therefore, avoda kasha. Everything that we do in Yiddishkeit is an avoda kasha. What does it mean in Hebrew? Avoda kasha?
Hard work.
Hard work. Like when God says to you, get up in the morning and go to the meeting. Now, if you grow from it, say, I'd like you to report over here at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have a nice time, you'd be there 7:30 just to make the proper preparations, right? But when the Baruch Shalom says, come at 8 o'clock, this shul, 8 o'clock, he's not saying 6 o'clock, get out at 8 o'clock. Oh, come on. It's a hard thing to do, you know. Or when Hashem says to sit in the sukkah, the weather's nice. I'll shake a branch a little bit. I have to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah. Hashem says, like I have people, when there's yontif, it's 3 days, and like you have Shabbos, 2 days yontif. I got all the ladies, oh, I can't believe it's 3 days yontif, what are we going to do? So God said, you have 3 days off from work. I know for the ladies, they have to work, but it's 3 days, yeah, 3 days yontiv, it's hard, yontiv. Hashem says, keep a Shabbos, it's hard. Why is it hard? So Ibn Nachman explained, you want to know why the avodah is kasha, why our work is so hard, it feels so hard in Yiddishkeit? He says, mikotzer ruach, because we have little amunah. Our amunah is not strong. You have a kotzer ruach, and when you don't believe in something, then the avodah becomes kasha. It's hard work. It becomes hard, you don't feel like doing it. That makes sense, right? You don't believe in something strongly, you don't feel like doing it. And therefore, anything that you have to do, it's a shlep. It's a shlep. Same thing, I remember I felt very, very bad. I got over it, but I felt bad for the minute. My mother once said to me, when I was your age, so I had a girlfriend that lived in Canarsie. Canarsie is like a dangerous place now. But in those days, it was still safe. So my girlfriend lived in Canarsie. I ended up marrying her, Baruch Hashem. So I was going to Canarsie back and forth like 6-5 times a week at 12 at night. My mother would ask me, can you take me to the train station in Forest Hills? We lived in Queens. And I'd say, I gotta go to the train station. So my mother said to me, I don't know, so when it comes to her, please stop talking.
I'm sorry.
When it comes to her, you can run to Brooklyn 10 times a week. And it's fine. Yeah, any time of the day or night, you're happy. Your mother asks you to drive me to the train. I ask you to drive me to the train station. It's like, you know, can't you find someone else, Ma? You know, it's bad. It's not nice. So what's the difference? The difference is I'm all excited about my girlfriend. My mom, you know, I love her, but it's my mom. So, mikotzer ruach, sometimes your ruach is just not there, and because of that, avodah kasha. Everything you have to do is avodah kasha. It feels like it's hard. It's hard. So when Rabbi Nassim is saying that Rabbi Nachman said this Torah, Amarti lefanav kimishtome, I was shocked. When I heard that, I was shocked. I guess Rabbi Nachman said it over to Rabbi Nassim personally. I was shocked. And my thoughts were wondering about this. Rabbi Nassim said, it seems to me that I do believe in God. I have strong faith in God. So why was Rabbi Nachman telling this to me? If you don't have strong faith, then everything is hard. I have strong faith. So Rabbi Nachman was reading his thoughts. He didn't say what he was thinking. Rabbi Nachman read his thoughts. And Onav Omar, and he answered, and he said, "Lashon Ge'aretz." He was a little annoyed, Rabbi Nachman. He said to me, "Kamer v'yesh l'chem emuna. I know you believe in God. Ein l'chem emuna ba'atzmacha. Your problem is not believe in God. You believe in God. Ein l'chem emuna ba'atzmacha. What does that mean, ba'atzmacha? You don't believe in yourself." That's what he said. The Klal, Rabbi Nosson writes, "A Klal hamuvim midvarav." What I took out. Then Rabbi Nachman just left me. He said that and he walked away. So he said, "Klal hamuvan midvarav." What I took out from his words, "Shahadam sarshila amun ba'asma," that a person has to believe in himself. "Shagam hu chaviv beinei Hashem," that he too is precious, is beloved, is beautiful in God's eyes. That's what he said. No, not time to read all of this. So I've been thinking about this a lot. And after spending the last 30 plus years talking to people, including myself, I've come to the conclusion that the main problem that we have with Yiddishkeit is not belief in God. Belief in God. Not only that, my experience tells me that most people that I talk to, even not the few non-Jews that I talk to, I don't have so much contact with non-Jews, but they believe in God. This guy that works in my shul, that cleans up, this guy is a Spanish guy, his name is Israel, he's one of the sweetest guys I ever met. Everything he says, God this and God that, he loves God, he believes in God. He listens to tapes of Torah Shiur, this guy, Israel, the Spanish guy. He believes in God. And if Israel believes in God, me and you believe in God. Yeah, we have some questions, say, but we believe in God. And yet, the avodah is an avodah kasha. It's hard to keep the mitzvahs. It's hard to stay away from the heirs. So, after all of these years, I'm giving you this more and more thought, and I was looking at this piece that we just read, and I came to the conclusion that the main problem is not belief in God. Yeah, almost everybody believes in God. Jews, non-Jews, that's not their problem. Again, there are issues, but we believe in God. God is there, he's watching. The problem is what Rabbi Nachman said to Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nachman said to Rabbi Nassim, your problem, Nassim, is not that you lack in faith in God. You believe in God, you believe in God. The problem is you don't believe in yourself. The problem is you don't believe in yourself. So I want to talk to you today for a few minutes. We'll only be able to start. We'll talk more next time. What does that mean to believe in yourself? What does it mean to believe in yourself? So the first thought might be, like, let's say you have a coach, and he's got this team. He's taking care of this team. Say the football team. And they have, like, a 2-11 season, you know? It's a bad season. So the coach, at halftime, they're down, like the football, they're down like by 40 points, you know, halftime. So they go to the locker room. And the coach takes these people, most of whom, if they weren't be playing football, they'd be in the penitentiary, right? And the coach says to them, guys, we're going to do it. We're going to kill them. This second half, right? We're going to kill them. Gives all this strength. And the guys, yeah, yeah. They start banging each other. They're banging heads on the locker. They're banging each other's chests. They start banging each other's. And we're gonna kill them. Okay, they go out halftime. After halftime, they go out. The end of the game is like whatever, 67-3. You know what I mean? But they got a field goal. But you get a guy. I'll give you another example that's more common. Get a guy, he's got like a 37 average in high school, right? And the teacher says to him, Yankee, this time I know you're going to do it, Yankee. Yeah, Rebbe, yeah, Yankee this time. But I only have a 37. Yankee, you're the best. You're great. You're unbelievable. And he gives Yankee, he gives him a high five. Rebbe, I'm going to do it. So yeah, it's a 42. 45. Listen, he's a 45 student. 40 students. Sometimes 37, sometimes 50, you know what I mean? But he's not getting a 95. Unless the Rebbe gives him all the questions and the answers and the tape. And even after he gives him Sadaka on the test, able to get a 70. With a lot of Sadaka, has students like that. But that's welfare, right? Unemployment collects welfare, unemployment everything. With all of that, you can get a 70, 70. So what does it mean? Rebbe Nachman says to Nelson, your problem is not God. You believe in God. Your problem is you don't believe in yourself. So it's like some sort of a self-esteem thing. To build up confidence, to believe in yourself. They use these lines, they use these words now a lot of you in the world. To believe in yourself, to believe in yourself. But a lot of people do. What reason, why should they believe in themselves? Like why? Believe in yourself. What do you mean to believe in yourself? Someone says, I should believe in myself. I know myself already for 57 years. Or maybe I was a little kid, I didn't, you know. So let's say, I'm thinking about this stuff, 40 years, 47 years, whatever. I know myself for 57 years. I know that there are a lot of limitations and a lot of problems. So you're going to tell me God's giving me like this pep talk, a high five? You can do it, Moshe. Go out and get them, like halftime. You get up for davening, Moshe, you can do it. Nah, I don't feel like it. Get up and learn. Sit and learn. 12 hours, Moshe, you can do it. I don't think I could do it. So that's what it is, like a pep talk. God's giving his pep talk. It's halftime. Believe in yourself. And all these others from talk about that. Believing in yourself. So listen, Kevin, I want to explain to you what this means. It's the most important thing in our lives. Mammals, I can only talk about it for a few minutes now. Which is someone talking about. There are two parts to a person. We're going to learn some Hasidus now. Deep. And I'm going to take away all the complicated, fancy stuff, and get straight to the point. The two parts to each and every one of us. Two parts. In Hasidus and Kabbalah, one part is called Etzem, and the other part is called Levush. Etzem means, what is Etzem? Anybody know? What does it mean, Etzem?
Bone.
It means bones, that's true, but it also means, it's connected
self.
To that, it means
self.
Essence. Etzem means the essence. Etzem means the essence. That's one part of the person. That's who the person is. You and I might not even know that about ourselves at all. We might not have found that out yet. The etzem. The essence of the person. You've all had a bunch of friends over the years. But probably you know that there's only one or two that the etzem are your friends. Am I right? One or two. Three is already a lot. You might be fooling yourself. You'll find out that the third one's not. But the etzem, one or two friends, the ems, that you know no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. The etzem. The neshama is like this. The etzem. That's one part of a person. The etzem, the essence. There's another part of a person that's called the levush. What does the word levush mean? What's a levush? No? A garment. You're the only one who speaks Hebrew here. Everybody knows a levush means a garment, right? Levushim. Malbushim means a garment. A levush is a garment. What does that mean, a levush? What's your name again?
Sure.
Yaakov. Yaakov, you a nice guy? Yaakov's a nice guy? You know, he's a nice guy. You're a nice guy. Are you always a nice guy? Between
no.
I'm not going to tell you. Sometimes Yaakov's not such a nice guy. Sometimes you lose it, get upset, right? So there's a midah that's called being nice. It's a midah. It's a certain levush, it's a garment. Sometimes you're wearing it, sometimes you're not wearing it. Like it is with clothing. Sometimes you're wearing the clothing. Sometimes you're wearing different clothing. So you're not always wearing that same outfit. You wear this clothing, you wear that clothing. Clothing is, like they say by the guy, there's a fashion statement, right? Clothing is you're making a certain statement. So when you're nice and you can help a friend with his homework later or with something else, then Yaakov is being the nice guy that he usually is. But no, he's wearing, at that moment, he's wearing the garment of being a nice guy. And what happens is his friend sees him later on, and he's not being so nice. And there he's upset. So the friend says, hey, Yaakov, what's going on? He's like, what's the matter? Like, I thought you're a nice guy. So Yaakov says, I'm a nice guy, but right now I'm upset about something. You know, that was then, this is now. Like, I remember when, years ago, in yeshiva, there was this guy that you couldn't say one word of Lashon Hara in front of him, you know? You couldn't sit at the same table with him. You say one thing that sounds like a Lashon Hara, he was always carrying the Chofetz Chaim, you know, the book. And if you say anything, he'd say, hey, no. It was no fun. You couldn't be with this guy. That was the way he was until we came back from vacation. I was sitting breakfast in the yeshiva, it was in Yerushalayim, and the guy starts to say something horrible about one of the rabbis in the yeshiva. Disgusting. I mean, real. Straight out, Lashon Hara. The Torah, not Rabban, you know what I mean? So everybody looked at him, Mr. Chofetz Chaim, you know? So he felt funny, he realized. So he said, now last Zman I was working on Lashon Hara, now I'm working on anger. Now, what does that mean? It means that all this stuff that was Lashon Hara wasn't who he is, it was just what he was trying to act like. He was trying not to speak Lashon Hara. But he didn't get that out of the system. Be'etzim, he still talks Lashon Hara. Be'etzim. They're garments that we wear. Garments you put on, garments that be taken off. A guy's a tremendous Baal Tzedakah. He gives fortune to money to Tzedakah. Then he loses his money. So the poor man comes, he says, I understand, you used to give me a check for $10,000. You gave me a check for $100. He says, what do you want? I don't have $10,000 to write checks like that. So, but you're Mr. Eichmann. You're the richest guy, the richest Jew in the world. I used to be, I'm not. What can I do? I wish I could help you. I can only give you $100 check. He had a million dollars. He had $1 billion. Now he doesn't have $1 billion. Comes and goes. That's all called levush, garments. God also wears garments. We don't know who God is. The etzem, God's essence, we don't know. We know the garments we're taught, like for instance, it says, we said this morning in davening, by the splitting of the sea, Hashem ish milchama. What does it mean, Hashem ish milchama? A man of war. Because at that time, God was destroying our enemies and was taking us to the water. So then, he was wearing the garments of a man of war. Because I'll say, when he gave us the Torah, he was like an old Rebbe with a white beard teaching us Torah. An old man teaching Torah. Those are garments. That's not who God is. That's how God was acting at the time. How you act, garments, you put them on, you take them off. Hold with the question. We need to talk a little bit more. I'll get to it. How you act is not necessarily who you are. The etzem, who you are. You and I have all done stuff, and then afterwards you look at yourself and you feel like what did I do that? That's not me. No, that's not me. Why did I do that? It's not me. Sometimes you're hanging out with a group of guys, and they're doing something that's not nice, and you don't feel good about it. You go home and you don't feel good. At the time you're laughing and joking with everybody, but then afterwards when you go home, you don't feel good. Why don't you feel good? Because you did something that was not you. That's it. At the time you were wearing a levush. You were wearing certain levush. And afterwards when you come home, you take off those garments and you say, hey, I gotta take a shower. That wasn't me. It wasn't me. There's etzim and there's levush. And everything in life. God also. There's the etzem, there's the essence of who God is. That's the garments that God wears. And those change from time to time. A person could have certain talents, certain skills. Anybody hear musical? Play an instrument? Okay. There's a natural thing that people have. I can't carry a note. There are other people that can sit down at the piano. And I have a daughter that she never read music. She doesn't know any. She never was taught a lesson. She sits down at the piano. She hit. When she was little, she would hear a song. She sits down at the thing. She starts to play the song. I don't even know how she knows the thing. She just starts to play. There's a certain musical neshama, right? People are talented. They have a certain musical thing. But then, God forbid, a person can have a sickness. God forbid, dementia. Loses his mind. Doesn't remember. Doesn't know anything.
Interesting because of muscle memory, they can actually still play the piano.
Sometimes the music it perseveres. Music is a very deep thing. Very, very deep thing. You're right. Sometimes it perseveres. It goes further. But then at some point, it usually doesn't... I guess it can go further than usual consciousness. It goes further. Music is a deep thing. In other words, the more it's connected to the etzem, the longer it holds out. But it can also come and go. That's how life is. Talents, skills, qualities come and go. Lavusha. Now, because of this, listen carefully, because remember we're talking about the subject of believing in yourself. Now, because of this, there are two ways in serving God. We're taught in the Chassidus. Listen carefully. There are two ways to serve God. Two ways. These words, you know, I'll say them in Hebrew, the way it's said in Chassidus, and now I'm going to explain. One is called Milamata Lamala, and the other is called Milamala Lamata. What does the word mean, Lamata?
Down
below. Milamata Lamala means from below to above. And the other is called Milamala, from above, Lamata to below. Down, up, up, down. The two ways in Yiddish name. From down, up, up, down. Let me explain what that means. Let's get back to Yaakov for a second. So, most of the time, Yaakov is a nice guy. Sometimes he's not a nice guy, like all of us. Say. Now, let's say I see Yaakov at a bad moment. So I could come, God forbid, I can come to the conclusion that Yaakov's not a great guy. And I could say, you know, I thought he was a real nice guy. I thought he was a nice guy, because yesterday he was, like, so nice. But now I see him. He's like the rest of us. He's not such a nice guy. I would be judging Yaakov in a way that's called in Chassidus from below to above, from below. In other words, I'm looking at him, and I'm watching a certain behavior of his at this moment, and I am judging him based upon this present moment. And I'm coming to the conclusion that I know this guy. This guy's not a good man. Now other people say, what do you mean, he's a nice guy? I say, yeah, he's a nice guy. Listen, I know other stuff about him. He's not such a good guy. Someone calls you up about a shidduch, and you say, not such a good guy. There's good things, there's bad things, it's not such a good thing. So that's how I might look at you. Now let's take this a step further. How do you look at yourself? How do you look at yourself? Let's forget about other people. How do you look at yourself? Now each one of you, and myself, we have seen in ourselves stuff that's not nice. Unless you're a tzaddik, I don't know, I might have a bidichiv over here, or a chavos chaim, I don't know. But if you're like me, which is regular guys, we've all seen stuff in ourselves that we're not proud of, right? We wouldn't want it to be flashed onto the big screen. We figure that by the time we get to Shemayim, we'll fix it up somehow. There's bad stuff. There's some stuff that's not nice. So let's say, God forbid, you're a person that for instance, which is very common now, I'm not chas v'shalom that any of you are doing this, but it's a very common thing that a person looks at things on the computer that you wouldn't want your mom to see. Or you wouldn't want your future wife to see. After doing that for quite a bit, and spending some time with these kind of things, you might not feel like davening too much. And the reason you don't feel like davening too much is very, very simple. Besides other issues with davening, the reason you might not feel too great about davening is very simple. A guy like me, 5 hours ago, I was looking at something disgusting on the computer. 5 hours ago. Now I get up in the morning and I'm supposed to wash my hands. What am I? Some kind of hypocrite? A phony? I'm the biggest phony in the world. You don't feel like that, me. He wants to hear from me. The same guy that 5 hours ago, 5 minutes ago, he wants to hear from me. What am I kidding? If I'm fooling myself, I'm not fooling him. So after a bit of time, you don't feel like davening anymore. Learning? that usually lasts longer than davening, you know, because learning is interesting. So, you know, if you have more of a head, you're more of a bal seichel, so you can hold with the learning board. But with davening isn't the first thing to go. Davening is the first thing to go, because davening means you're talking to God. So you don't feel like talking to God. Not because you're not a good Jew. Not because you don't believe in God. You believe in God. We all believe in God. You believe in God. The reason that you're not talking to God this morning, and you don't feel like going to shul, or davening, whatever it is, whether shul or home, the reason you don't feel like it is because you don't believe in yourself. What does it mean to believe in yourself? Listen. It's because you've seen some disgusting levushim garments in your life. You've seen yourself act in a disgusting way, see disgusting things, say disgusting things. So after a while, you come to believe that be'etzem, that's who you really are. You start to look at yourself as a piece of filth, as a piece of dirt. And because you see yourself as a piece of dirt, you can't talk to God anymore. It's not that you don't believe in God. You don't believe in yourself. Now, what is the self? What's the self? I would wager, I'm not a betting guy. I don't bet. And I'm a conservative person by nature. I don't even invest in the stock market. Because my $232 that we now have wouldn't do much anyway. But I'm a conservative person by nature. I would wager that none of us know who we are, but that's yet. Yet. You're going to see now something that you have to remember to your 120. Look at the last thing on the page, the bottom piece. The bottom piece. I know I didn't get to your question. I'm sorry. Maybe you have a few minutes. Look at the piece on the bottom. But before we read it together, which is really, it's a life-altering piece from Rabbi Nachman on the bottom, a life-changing piece. I want to tell you an interesting halacha. A halacha. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Tes, talks about a person that gets lost in the desert. In those days, he had no, there's no phone, there's nothing. He gets lost in the desert, he was unconscious, he was sick. He gets lost in the desert, and he loses track of time. He doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't know, is it Sunday, is it Monday, he doesn't know. He was unconscious, something, and he's dragging around there in the desert. You hear? And he doesn't know what day it is. What's the difference if he knows what day it is? Shabbos. He doesn't know what Shabbos is.
Time is a man-made creation. Time is a man-made creation. It's just a measurement of time that we all assign.
Shabbos is a man-made creation?
Yeah. I mean, not Shabbos itself. The idea of Shabbos is given to us by God, but time is a man-made creation.
No, I'm sorry to disagree. It says, Baruch Osa Bereishis. We say it in Baruch Shamar. We don't go and explain to all the Mephashim. God created the world. When he created the world, he created time. Shabbos, Yontif.
He created movement. He never created time.
He created the way of measuring time according to that movement. So, the Shabbos is the one thing in creation. Yom Tov, you're right. Shabbos is not. Shabbos is fixed. It's every 7 days. Now, how that works out with the timeline and so on, it's a very, very big conversation. It's not for now.
But I mean, the halakha that you're about to talk about is basically you have two options about whether or not you're going to keep Shabbos. It's either you assign it from what? Or you assign it from what you remember, or you start counting from the day.
So, okay, so good. So, what you do is, what the Gemara says. But the Gemara says this as follows. That's what I want to talk to you about. The Gemara says this as follows. The Gemara says, we'll pay, come on, don't. We're big boys here. What the Gemara says is this. You count 6 days from whenever you awake. Like whenever you say, oh, you count 6 days. And the seventh, you make Shabbos. Like you said, relative, yeah? You count 6 days, you make Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, every one of the days, you should try as much as possible not to do any malachas, at least from the Torah. Not do any work from the Torah. If you can. Obviously, you do what you have. But if you could avoid, you don't do anything. Then, the Chassam Sof and the Sfasem would say, listen to this. This is amazing. The Chassam Sof and the Sfasem would say that every single day, you make Kiddush. Now, we know, as far as absolute time is concerned, only one of those days out of seven is Shabbos, right? One out of seven. But the tzaddikim, the Gemara says, all 7 days, try not to do any malacha if you can. Try not to work. do any fires or anything, whatever you can do, avoid. Yeah. And the Svasemus Nachsams over here, that every day you make Kiddush, if you have what to make Kiddush on. Every day you make Kiddush. What's that? This morning, at the end of davening, we say the Shir Shal Yom every day, we say every day has a certain chapter of Tehillim, right? How do we start? Hayom Yom? Sheni B'Shabbat, Yom Shlishi B'Shabbat, right? Why do we say Sheni B'Shabbat, Shlishi B'Shabbat? And that's how we count time. We don't have names of the days. By the going, they have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We don't call the name. We call it Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni. The first day, the second day, because that means the Shabbos. We count time by Shabbos. So listen, the Sfasemis and the Chassam Sova say that you make Kiddush every day. With Hashem's name. Baruch Ata Hashem, Baruch Pia Gev, Baruch, you can always make it on mine. Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh, HaShabbat. Mekadesh Shabbos. Every day. Now you know that only one out of seven is really Shabbos. How could you say the Baruch, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos, all 7 days? Any answers? Okay, so you...
Because it has the potential to be Shabbos. Even if now, if we're not even in a desert, today could be Shabbos. I mean, 1,000 years ago, Emperor, whatever, just said, okay, the calendar is messed up, it's Tuesday now. So, I mean, the calendar, like the day that we're practicing now, that of...
No, the seventh day, Shabbos now is the same, it's the seventh?
It's agreed upon, yeah, for thousands of years.
No, it's not agreed upon. Shabbos, the seventh day, again, that's with holidays, with Yom Tovim, with the Goyim, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, how it was changed by Julian back then. But as far as Shabbos, it's been every 7 days since creation. It has not been lost at all. It's been 7 days, and that could be proven, and it has been proven scientifically, that we have been keeping the seventh day, every seventh day since man was first conscious of time, which is other Marisha. But you said something, tell me your name, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oren.
You said something good. You said, the first thing you said was it could be potentially Shabbos, but we have to go into that a little bit more.
It has the potential to be anything.
But not because we're mixed up with time. There's something deeper than that. We have to dig deeper than that. Oren, the reason that we can make Kiddush every day in the desert, when you don't know what day it is because you're right, every day is potentially Shabbos. And when Mashiach comes, we say it'll be Yom Shekulo Shabbat Mulucha L'Elamim. Every day is potentially Shabbos because the underlying essence of creation, of all that exists, the deepest essence of creation is called Shabbos. Shabbos. Everything that we have is built on top of it, layers of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The essence of creation is God, is a clarity, in the clearest way, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Shabbos. When Mashiach comes, because I'll say a strange thing, Mashiach comes because I'll say that if a person is going to want to take a fruit from the tree on Shabbos.
In the desert, there is no time.
There is no time. So what's happening in the desert is this. What's happening in the desert is that everything is uncovered. We're like in this naked situation. We have no calendar, we have no clock. So in that situation where there's no calendar and there's no clock, we revert back to the essential, the etzem of creation. The etzem of creation is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Everything is Shabbos. You see, the essence of creation right now is also Shabbos. That's why we count time. Hayom Yom Echad B'Shabbat, Yom Yom Sheni B'Shabbat. Right now, it's also Shabbos. But our problem is...
But nothing's black and white, like what you're saying. We're not this concept of... as humans, we can't live as all Shabbos.
That's right. There's only one day of the week that we can live Shabbos, and that's Shabbos.
Yeah, it's like the word... It's the word awful and awesome. Awful, too much.
Awesome. Right. So right now, you're 100% right. Right now, we can't be Shabbos like that. We can't do that.
It's complicated.
It's not possible. But we know why? Because each day of the week, there are different garments. They're Levushim. Sunday's a Levush. Monday's a Levush. Tuesday's a Levush. There's only one day of the week that we can get under all of the Levushim and get to the essence of creation. The essence of creation is God. The essence of creation is Shabbos. But we can't live like that 7 days, right now. We can't live that. We go out of our minds. We can't live that way. We're not up to it. But there's only one day of the week that we can live that way. That's called Shabbos. So on that one day of Shabbos, we get to the essence of who we are. So the 6 days of the week, we have levushim garments, and we do this, and we do that, and we do this, and we do that, and we act like this, and we act like that. But when it comes to Shabbos, we try to get to the essence of who we are, the essence of creation. That is Shabbos, that's God, that's everything is God. So Shabbos is always there. It's an undercurrent. It's a constant in creation. It's always Shabbos. It's always Shabbos. But there's only one day of the week that we can get to it. But it's always Shabbos. One day of the week, we crack through, we break through, and we get to there. And we say Kiddush, we put on Shabbos clothing, we daven Shabbos, and we keep Shabbos. But really, everything is Shabbos. It's always Shabbos. Hayom yom echad b'Shabbat. Hayom yom sheni b'Shabbos. Yom shlishi b'Shabbos. Therefore, if you're lost in the desert, you try to keep Shabbos every day. Not because of statistics, not because of probabilities and chances. You try to keep Shabbos every day. And you make, and you, according to the Chassam Sofer Sassamus, you make Kiddush every day with Hashem's name, and Hashem Mekaddish Shabbos. Because the true reality of creation is, and here I'm without time, like you said.
It's all metaphor.
It's everything is Shabbos. Everything, the true essence of creation is Shabbos. The etzem is Shabbos. Now, when we get to the question of what is it, who are you and who am I? What's the etzem of a Jew? What's the etzem of a Jew? Not the levushim. Levushim, we're all different. We have different names. We have different ways of behaving. Sometimes we're nice, sometimes we're not. Some of us are musical, some of us are not. Some of us are athletic, some of us are not. Some of us are rich, some of us are poor. There are a million levushim. There are 6 days of the week and 6 million levushim, 6 billion, 6 trillion levushim. But the question of be'etzem, the essence, who am I? What's the etzem of a Jew? In the etzem, in the essence, we're all the same. What's the etzem? Look at the bottom of the page. It's Rabbi Nachman. Yeah, look inside. Ki ikar rachmanis, hu kishi yisrael am kadosh nofel. The biggest rachmanis, the most pathetic thing in the world, is kishi yisrael am kadosh nofel. The most pathetic thing in the world is when a Jew sins, when a Jew falls. Why is that pathetic? Rachmanis. Chas v'shalom b'avonis, by doing sins. Rachmanis. Ki zehu harachmanis ha'golem, mi kol minei rachmanis. It's the most pathetic thing in the world. It's more pathetic than anything else when a Jew sins. Because all of the suffering of the world and all of the bitterness of the world doesn't equal the heavy burden that a Jew carries when he sins.
It's not pathetic, it's tragic.
Okay, fine. How are you going to translate Rachmanis? Fine. Let's just continue and you'll see what he means. Tragic, pathetic, you're right. Kikshi Yisrael noflim ba'avonos. When a Jew falls, when he fails tragically into the world, into the underworld of disgusting things. It's a very heavy burden upon him. It's very hard and he can't carry this. He becomes upset, he becomes angry. Rav Kook writes in Oros HaTshuva that the angriest people in the world are the sinners. Sinners are always angry, he says. They're angry, they're upset. Who are they angry at? They're angry with themselves. They're angry. Because they're carrying around this burden. They think they're angry at the mothers. They blame the fathers. They blame the economy. They blame the president. They blame everything. They blame everybody. But the truth is, the reason that they're angry is the same reason that you and I feel lousy after we do something bad. We feel bad. And you get angry. So you might project that anger, like the psychologists talk about. You might project it onto somebody else. And you blame your mom. You blame your dad. You blame your this. You blame the world. You blame the atmosphere. But you really are upset because you're not being yourself. And it hurts you. It's the heaviest thing in the world is to carry around that burden. Now, here's the main thing. Look at the bottom. Ki mi sheyode kedushas Yisrael. Anybody who understands, mi sheyode, who understands, kedushas Yisrael, the holiness of a Jew, what it means, the etzem of who a Jew really is, the essence of a Jew, may ayin heim lekuchim. Where do they come from? Where does a Jew come from? Where does his neshama come from? If you understand that, really, if you learn that and understand it deeply, it's a very deep subject, what a neshama is, where it comes from. Whoever understands the true spiritual nature of a Jew, who yodeya, that person knows. You're listening, Tzadi, you're listening. Who yodeya, he knows. She Yisrael, heim rechokim legamrei me'ovam. Right here. That a Jew, be'etzem, in the essence of who he is, Rechokim Lagamre Mi'Avam, is far, far removed from doing any Aveira, let alone looking at some disgusting website. Far, far removed. It's totally out of whack. It's a Levush that he's wearing. It's not the essence. It's not the Shabbos of who he is. It's not the underlying reality of who this person, Be'emes, is. Vein oven shayach lahem klal klal love. In terms of the essence of a Jew, he has no interest in any aveiros. Aveiros don't interest him, don't appeal to him at all. Lefigodol kedushasam yisharsham vegodol dakusam ruchniusam, because of the great spirituality and the greatness and the holiness of the etzem of a Jew. Therefore, al kein kol hayisur mishavolam einu nachshav lamasuri kineged amasuri kovet shalavonis. Therefore, all of the heavy burdens of the world don't equal for a minute the heaviest burden of all, which is when a Jew is sinning and he's carrying around, schlepping around the sins of his life. It's the most heavy and unbearable burden that a person can carry in his life. Now, what Rabbi Nachman is saying is the following. What he's saying is that all the sins that we do, all the bad stuff, that's all levushim, they're all garments. Like we said, sometimes Yaakov is mostly he's nice, sometimes he's not nice. Sometimes I'm not nice, sometimes you're not nice. That's how life is. We do stuff, good stuff, bad stuff. Good stuff, bad stuff. There's different days of the week. There's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Good stuff, bad stuff. All of that's called levushim. If you look at yourself in that way and you measure yourself and you come to a conclusion of who you are based upon the garments, then you're judging yourself and other people in a way that's called milamata, from below. You're looking at it from a very, very simple, simplistic, shallow, superficial way. You're looking at the garments. The same way that you'd be terribly sinful if it would be the worst thing in the world for me to look at one of you and say, oh, this guy's hair is long, he's probably not religious. That's stupid. That's stupid, because you see a guy that has long hair, he could be the most holy person in the world. You have another guy, he's got a super-duper crew cut, he's got pays to the floor, he could be the biggest Russian. But we make these mistakes all the time. We measure people milamata, from below. Not by who they really are, but by the garments they wear, by how they're acting, by what they're doing. But the greatest problem of all is that we measure ourselves that way too. When Rabbi Nachman said to Rabbi Nelson, your problem is not believing in God, you believe in God. Your problem is you don't believe in yourself. What Rabbi Nachman was saying is not giving him a pep talk, not building his confidence. What Rabbi Nachman was saying is that the etzem of a Jew, that Jews don't believe in the etzem of who they are. If you and I would believe in the etzem of who we are, we would understand, like Rabbi Nachman says, kedushas yisrael, what the holiness of a Jew is, and where the neshama comes from. If we would believe in that, we would never sin. Are you listening? If we believe in that, that's what it means to believe in yourself. It means to look at yourself milamala, from a higher perspective, not milamata. It means to look at another Jew that way also. Don't look at him by what he's doing. Look at him, listen. Don't judge him. Don't measure him. Don't come to the conclusion that that's who the person is. You don't know that person at all. You think you know that person? You don't know that person at all. And I know many, many times that you can have a person that is acting this way and doing that, And the person is mamish the opposite of that. The etzem of the person is not that at all. The worst thing we have in our lives is that after years and years of doing stuff that's not so good, we come to identify ourselves in a certain way, and it's not the etzem. It's not the essence. It's just not the essence. It's stuff that we do, but it's not the essence. The same way that every day is really, underneath everything is really Hashem, everything is Shabbos. We see Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The essence is Shabbos. The essence of a Jew is Shabbos. If a person understands Kedushas is so, what it means, the holiness of a Jew, and he learns that in a deep way, then he would know the Be'etzem. I'll give you an example. And a very simple example. When I was growing up, I was generally a good student when I was a kid in school. But I was not always behaving so nicely. I wasn't always behaving so well. So my mother would go to the PTA. PTA is an interesting time. You know, parents, teachers, like when they go to that stuff, it's an interesting time. There's some parents, they just stay away from that. Why suffer through, you know, hearing stuff about my kid that I already know? But an interesting thing will happen. What will happen is that a teacher could say something really terrible about the kid. The father believes it, the mother doesn't usually believe it. Again, I'm giving, there are exceptions. I'm just saying in general. My father would come home, my parents would come home from the PTA. My father hardly ever would be able to go because of the time. My father would come home and say, he would give me some musa. And he would say, like, what's going on? This and that. And my mother would come home and she would hate the teacher. The teacher said about Moshe. You know, the teacher was right. I was acting up. And my father's right for telling me off. What's the difference between mom and dad? Not always. I'm just using a general principle. What's the difference between the teacher and mom? Let's say that. Let's leave that out for a second.
Subjective.
Of course. The teacher is measuring the kid by his levusha. My levusha, my garments, were giving the teacher a lot of aggravation. I was joking, carrying on, and making noise. So the levusha was giving the teacher... My mom's not measuring me by my what? By my levusha. My mom is measuring me by my what? Who I am, my etzer. That's my son. I know my kid. Don't tell me. How many times have this happened? Then a mother will say, that's not my kid. You have a kid that's arrested in jail. And he's picked up for drug charge and did this, and he did this, and he did that. And the mother's saying, my boy's the best boy in the world. So what are you out of your mind? Your kid's the best boy in the world? What do you mean? He's half his life, he's in jail. The mother's not talking about the levushim, the garments. The mother's talking about the etzim of her child, because there's no one that believes in the kid as much as a mom. Usually. The mom's talking about the etzim.
Respect that we're all standing around a circle and we all believe in everything. We all believe in the same thing. We're just looking at it a different way. I mean, you see color, a black color, a grayish color.
Right.
Everybody sees it's black, grayish color, but in reality, it's like when you're little, you draw all the colors together and then it's this big black thing. If you scratch off the surface, you see all these colors. We're all individually our own color.
That's right.
Paul Whitman says that the answer to life is individuality, and that we are here. A powerful play goes on, you make a tribute of verse. That we're very complicated people, as you're saying.
Right, we're not disagreeing at all.
Yeah, no, we're just using different metaphors.
That's
hard
right.
For people to identify metaphors, that's the problem. That's why we have so many.
That's why
judgment.
So much hatred and misery because of that type of. Well, every time I go with people are talking here, I feel like I'm back in sixth grade. I'd appreciate it not to have like that. We're trying to listen to what Aaron's saying. He's saying important stuff. You have to respect him. Not talk about me. You could spit on me. Bemis, I don't care. This guy, we have to listen to. Oh, he's a smart guy. He gets that.
But it's interesting, though, because like we thought that necessarily they're talking, but they're also doing something good. Like,
of course they're doing something good. They're saying good things about you. I'm only annoyed because I don't want to hear noise when you're talking. That's all. I'm not saying that.
No, it's the same thing, though, what you're saying right now.
100%. It's the best proof.
You got to think about where backgrounds are, what everything is.
100%. And the mom,
knows
who is
from birth.
You're from inside, Meharechem. She carried you 9 months. And she was there with you from the start. So there's no one in the world, again, she might not be the smartest, most perceptive.
Same thing with God.
Right.
God
so God, so now the question is like this. How do we look at ourselves? What Rabbi Nachum was saying to Abnasin is, you don't believe in yourself. What he's saying is like this. God looks at you a certain way. Your mother looks at you a certain way. Rabbi Nachum is saying, the tzaddik looks at you a certain way. You don't see yourself the way that I... Rabbi Nachum is saying, if you would see yourself the way that I see you, the holiness of who you are, you'd be a different person. If we would see ourselves the way the mother sees us, our lives would be totally different. That's what Rabbi Nachum is saying. If we would see Kiddush Yisrael be'etzem, what a Jew is, who we really are be'etzem in the essence, Shabbos, it would be totally different. Yeah.
But how are you careful not to cross the line where you're too proud?
Now, where does gaiva come into this? Where does conceit, humility come into this? It's a terrific question. That's like another hour. So I can't start that now. It's
another
a great
hour.
Question.
Thousands of hours.
Yeah. Mitzvah will continue. The only way to be humble is when one measures oneself vis-a-vis the creator of the universe. Because in terms of the self, one tzaddik said, a Jew has to have two pockets. In one pocket it says, I'm dust and ashes, I'm ochi of a vefer. And the other pocket it says, Bishvili Nevelim, the world was created for me. And he says, well, you better not mix up those pockets. You have to know when,
yeah,
which pocket
your
is.
Your life is a mix of those pockets.
Huh?
It's interesting we're learning Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman said to his students, he said, you shouldn't learn Rambam because then you might have questions and it can cause you to go, you know, have like ideas that you shouldn't have. But then another person says it's better to be Rabbi Nachman than his students. Rabbi Nachman has some excellent points. I'm not going to judge him based on that thing.
Right.
But at the same time, like, there's certain things that you have to make compromises on. You know, we're not living in a desert. There are certain things you have to make compromises on, otherwise you might end up in a horrible situation. But
right.
At the same time, is you have to expose yourself as much as possible.
That's why we have, that's why, you're right. We're living in the world where there's 6 days and there's Shabbos. And we're trying to juggle all this. And it's not, Rabbi Nachman was proficient in the Rambam. He knew it inside out. And he only spoke, he was only talking about Moreh Nevuchim, not Rabbi Moreh Nevuchim. Right, because that is also an interesting discussion. Rabbi Nachman, who is so complicated and deep, insisted upon simple faith. And what does simple faith mean? The simple faith that we're talking about is this, the Etzem, which is, there are, like you were saying before, Aaron, there are all kinds of colors on the surface, colors and differences, but underneath, when you get like one of the Rebbe said, that after you take off the last peel of the onion, you're left with one tear, you know, there's underneath, there's the Etzem of what a person is, the essence of what a Jew is. And all of life is to try to come more closer and closer to that Etzem, while not ignoring the surface. Well, not ignoring the 6 days of the week. Well, not ignoring the Levusha, but to try as much as possible to come to the Etz.
But at the same time, you can't be too focused on it, because why do we fall? So we can get back up. Character development is essential for it. You can't just be so focused on that center of the onion, when the fact of the matter is, we live in a world where we have to focus on the deep layers of us, so we can try to get to the
center. True, but if you're going to forget, God forbid you're going to...
You can't forget about it.
If you forget the Etzim, you won't be able to scrape yourself off the ground.
Of course.
You just won't be able to get the next.
Because you said you have to believe in yourself at the same time. It's problem.
It's life's work, but that's our life's work. That's our life's work. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something before at the beginning.
Okay.
More
specific.
Okay. So you know, I'm sorry. So you know, let me end just tell you a fair story. My memory is not so good anymore. So if I told you this story, like, give me that look, like you're having a senior citizen moment. But I don't remember if I told this story. Back in the 1950s, there were these parents that they brought their kid to meet the Lubavitcher Rebbe. In those days, it was still possible to go and to talk to the Rebbe one-on-one. It became much harder later on. So they went in to see Lubavitcher Rebbe because the kid wasn't learning so well in yeshiva. So they brought him into the Rebbe. They came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave a bracha and tried to learn. Everybody says amen, and they're walking out. And then when they're about to walk out, they're by the door. The Rebbe calls out to the boy. Let's say the kid's name is Yankel. He says, Yankel, do you like baseball? And Yankel turned around. He was surprised the Rebbe asked him such a thing. And he said, yeah, I love baseball. So the Rebbe asked him, that's good. Which is your favorite team? He said, the Brooklyn Dodgers in those days. The Brooklyn Dodgers. So the Rebbe said, you like the Brooklyn Dodgers? He says, yeah. So he said, do you ever go to see them, a game? And your uncle says, yeah, actually my father took me a month ago, we went to see the game. And the Rebbe said, did you like the game? It was good. And the uncle says, not in particular, no. So the Rebbe said, well, why not? You said you like baseball. He said, yeah, but the Dodgers lost 7-0. So the Rebbe asked him, how do you know they lost? So the boy said, everybody knows they lost. So the Rebbe said, what do you mean? Did you see them lose? So the boy said, actually, I left at the end of the sixth inning. It was such a bad game. Like, it was such a mess. They were getting slaughtered so badly. I left at the end of the sixth inning. So the rabbi said, oh, so then you didn't see them. How do you know they lost? So the boy says, everybody knows that they lost. It's written. Everybody saw. So the rabbi said, but you said you left. So he said, I left. So he says, well, maybe when you left, maybe all the baseball players also left.
Shortening your baseball game.
So listen, the kid says, hold on, Rabbi, look. I don't know Gemara, but I know baseball. There are two kinds of people that are at the game. They're spectators, and they're the ball players. Spectators come and go. But the ball players have to stay, you know, they have to stay to the end. No matter, even if you're losing, you stay to the end. So the Rabbi said to him, you understand? There are two ways of being a Jew. Fellas, there are two ways of being a Jew. You can either be a spectator or a player. Well, we were talking about the Levushim garments, Levushim things come and go. A player is the one who knows this is who I am and sticks it out to the end. There are good days and bad days. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But you don't walk away from the game. You're in it. Because that's who you are. It's not just you're a spectator. You can come to Davin, and by Davin, you're Davining, your whole Davining is like a spectator. You're not really in it. It's not you. You're just watching other people do it. The Rebbe was saying to the boy, you have a choice in life. Your Yiddishkeit could be the Yiddishkeit of a spectator, or it could be the Yiddishkeit of a player. The difference is that you stay with it. You don't walk out. You work at it. You work at it. It's who you. If it's who you are, not just what you're doing, but who you, what you have to do, because there's a tefillah period. But if it's who you are, you don't walk out. You keep on working out. There are good days and bad days. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But you're a player. You're in. It's you. Hashem should help us to be players, not spectators, to everything in life, to our marriages, to being parents. There are parents that are just spectators. There are husbands that are spectators. There are Jews that are spectators. Hashem should help us to be real players, that take the game seriously and respect the other players also. Yishkaich, I'm sorry if I was rough on you a little bit. You please be merciful on me, okay? Well, we'll continue next time. Yishkaich.
Hey, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Rabbi, you were going to say if someone, when Mishael wants to pick an apple.
Oh, wait, or he says that the word, because I'll say it, and the tree will spring out. Shabbos. Shabbos. That means because the essence of creation is Shabbos.
Right.
So
I'm
going to say Shabbos. Maybe the tree will spring out.
So, Warren and I have class.
Running to get less, or I get less?
I already have lunch, so
where are you going to have lunch? I mean, I have lunch also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but it's 12:47, we still have like 40 minutes.
Tell you something funny as a fellow. My phone is buzzing the whole time. I looked at it. It's my mom calling me the whole time. Why do you think she's calling me? 100%. She's telling me it's snowing, and I should have to start driving. That's exactly what I was talking about. No one else is calling, but I see my mom's calling the whole time.
The road's back to me. Oh, yeah, sure. You recorded it?
Yeah.
You think, like, maybe one day you can send it to me?
I'll probably send it to the YU website. I'll probably put it on YU Torah.